Well, hello, good evening and welcome, or good morning, or good afternoon, just good day, wherever you are, however you are listening to this latest episode of Soundtracking with me, Edith Bowman. I am giddy with excitement to bring you our latest bonus episode as two of my favourites, Luca Guadagnino and Daniel Craig, join me to discuss Luca's glorious new film, Queer. Based on a novella by William S. Burroughs, tells the story of Lee, who, after fleeing from a drug bust in New Orleans, wanders around Mexico City's clubs and becomes infatuated with a discharged American Navy serviceman. As you'll hear from Luca, this has been a book and a story that has been with him for a very long time. He read it for the first time when he was 16, 17. In Sicily, and in his head there and then he knew this was something that he wanted to make into a film, and it's made with such love and such joy and such craftsmanship and just collaboration as well, both with his actors, with Daniel and the other amazing cast, but also everybody behind the scenes who's helped create this, whether that be Stefano, the production designer, or Trent and Atticus, who did the score. There's just so much detail and so much care gone into this film. I loved it. I was just blown away by it. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. We'll hear from Luca and Daniel in just a second, but first I wanted to point you in the direction of our YouTube channel, Soundtrack and Extra, where you can find stacks of content, including visualized versions of the podcast and exclusive interviews, which you can only find there. So sometimes we get extra people or time with things and we don't have the time to put it in a podcast, so we want to share it with you. So this is where it ends up on Soundtrack and Extra. Now, the latest of these is Sean Baker, writer, director of the brilliant, I don't know how to describe this one actually, because it's quite a funny old little beautiful beast, to be honest. It's kind of part romantic comedy. It's part kind of drama. It's really clever. It's really beautiful. It's called Anora, and it won none less than the 2024 Palme d'Or at Cannes. So here's Sean talking about the genesis of the idea on Soundtrack and Extra.
It's hard to say when an idea begins, because sometimes it can be percolating for years and years. And in this case, I always knew that I would be telling a story in the Russian American community of Brighton Beach and Coney Island. I just didn't know what that was. And it really just took years to figure it out. After I made a film called Red Rocket, having researched the world of sex work, I think that's when it was figured. That's when the plot was figured out, and focusing on this idea of a young woman who realizes a little too late that she married the wrong man.
Sean Baker, writer and director of Anora, in an interview that you can find on our YouTube channel, Soundtrack and Extra, which we'd be very grateful if you would go and subscribe to. And so to Luca and Daniel's film Queer, which is scored by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, features a beautiful original song called Vaster Than Empires. Given we start by talking about said song, we thought we should play a bit of it for you now.
How can a man who sees and feels be other than sad? How can a man who sees and feels be other than sad? How can a man who sees and feels be other than sad? How can a man who sees and feels be how
going to say congratulations, first of all. I know I said it last night, but I've got to say congratulations for Challengers and for your nomination for your song, songwriter.
Amazing.
So good. It sounds so good on
is
the
there
radio.
Anything you can't do?
No.
But the song introduced the queer. Because the title of the song is Compress, Repress, and that bleeds into queer.
Well, I can't. I'm going to play Vaster Than Empire on the radio next time that I'm...
Have you heard it, right?
It's so beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
Tell me about that. And also, who's Caetano Veloso?
Veloso.
Veloso. My apologies.
That is like one of... I mean, the movie has a lot of lifetime achievements for me, starting from having made this movie with Daniel. But when we were almost at the end of the post-production, I said to Trent and Atticus, we should do a song to accompany the audience off of the movie.
Yeah.
And then I said to them, I want to try to see if there is anything about love in the writing of Burroughs. Not very renowned to be a writer about love. So I asked my brilliant researcher, Ben, I said to him, dig deep and see what you find. And then a few days afterwards, he showed me the last page on the last day in the journals of William Burroughs, 3 days before he died. And the last word is love. And this page is all a poem about love. It says, our love will grow vaster than empire, da, 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 da. And so I sent this to Trent and Atticus. And Trent said to me, isolate what you like mostly. Mm-hmm. So I isolated that. And then they work on that. So I said to them, I think because he died at the age of 83...
Yeah.
We want to have an older man voice. And I have been in love with Caetano Veloso since, I don't know, ever. Mm-hmm. He's one of the great, 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 great legends of music. Mm-hmm. And he has been a Brazilian musician that has created these incredible albums. And
I don't think he's... really on the radar in this country.
No, it's such a beautiful introduction for me.
It's legend. Like, we are talking about a legend.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, this word is used, like, it's incredible. Like, the idea that we have William Burroughs written by Trent and Atticus scored and Caetano performed song in a movie of mine with Daniel Craig, it's insane. Having said that, you might remember in Challengers, the scene where Art and Tashi, they talk in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's desperate because another repressed man cannot tell her the truth.
Yeah.
And there you have the song by Caetano Veloso, Pecado, entering in the soundtrack.
Thank you for the introduction.
It's incredible.
I
you
can't
should,
wait.
You should,
I'm,
you should
I'm
listen
diving.
To two, three albums.
I'm gonna.
You should listen to Foreign Sound, which is all great standards re-sung by him. I'll tell you afterwards. Mm. Amazing.
Yeah. Did music come part of any of the world in prep or around this? Because, I mean, in the film, we've got this amazing musical number, really. You know what I mean? In terms of working with a choreographer leading up to the film as well. Was music part of that work?
I mean, music, movement, everything was... We were... It wasn't sort of a conscious... I mean, it wasn't... It did feel self-conscious what we were doing. We went off and we learnt this routine, this dance... bit. Music clearly plays a part, the way Sol and Paul work, the choreographers, which is, you can't, because there's no sound recorded, but we're saying words for the movement,
mm-hmm.
and there's music we're playing, there's a piece of music, I can't remember what piece of music we used, but we rehearsed to, which is different clearly in the movie.
Yeah.
I think that was something that they created.
Yes, that's right, yeah. And then Luca told me about the music he wanted to use.
We
had discussions, but of course I'm not thinking about that while I'm doing it, because you forget. But I have music playing in my ears all day, just to stay focused and stay kind of out of the hubbub of the set.
And are those choices based around, I don't know, the character, you know, in terms of what you're choosing to listen to, or is it just you personally?
No, it's random. It's random. And I have an iPod, an old iPod. Because
well
I don't
done.
Want a phone on set.
Yeah.
I don't want any distractions. I've got so much weird and wonderful. It's most of my CD collection and all of that stuff that's
on
all
there.
Loaded on it. So I just press
amazing
random and shuffle and it goes.
Once again, your choices of needle drops and score, that marriage of the two is just so fantastic.
Thank
and
you.
Opening with that Sinead O'Connor cover is like...
So moving, isn't it?
Oh.
What else should I be? All apologies. What else should I say? everyone is gay. What else could I write? I don't have the right. What else should I be? All apologies. In the sun, in the sun.
She sang that cover the day Cobain committed suicide. She got the guitar and recorded it as a sort of homage.
Whoa.
That great artist that Sinead O'Connor was, that great person.
Yeah.
And there is an anguish in that performance. And at the same time, I would say there is, she kind of opened the song. Because the way she performs the song.
Totally.
She takes off all the swagger of the grunge and all the heteronormativity of the perception of what Nirvana.
What does heteronormativity mean? It's such a beautiful word. What does that mean?
I think it's like the way in which things have to be put in slots that belongs to something specific, in this case.
Labeled. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
So, you know, like because grunge was so popular and so wide, and and that's one of the reasons why I think Cobain couldn't leave. This massive responsibility of the fans he had, where he was probably a very fragile person that felt all the fragility of being different and the impossibility of reconciling that with the rock star, you know?
Yeah.
And with the gesture, Sinead decodified the thing, boom, and make it bare and shows us what it is, which is about really displacement of self.
Yeah.
And it's like guitar and voice. But we did something with Marco Costa, the editor, when we started editing. We said, can we isolate the riff? Dun, 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 dun. And can we isolate the voice? Thanks to AI, we did that. And the estate of Sinead O'Connor allowed us to do that. So she's like, you have the music first, the riff first, which is this kind of like dun, 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 which comes with a centipede, which is the bell of repression. And then you have the voice who says, go away. Mm. And then you have the music and the song together. Mm. I have listened to the song by Sinead forever. I mean, I've been, I think the album is Universal Mother. What a great artist.
Yeah. I mean, that's just one song in the film. And the wonderful way, there's that fantastic way that we have the sound design that just beautifully kind of bleeds into Come As You Are as well. Mm. And just that kind of seamless journey.
There was a lot of diplomacy there. Because, you know, like I said, hey, guys, Trent and Atticus goes, can we be longer? We should be longer. But, I mean, longer. I mean, as long
lock
as you
the
want.
Door.
I was like, oh, God, we're putting these songs from the Nirvana in the movie. And then I said, can you make a piece that goes into the Nirvana so that they are the one thing?
Right.
And it was really like being at the table of the ambassador of whatever with all the prime ministers. I was very cautious, but Trent and Atticus are the most generous, wonderful, committed artists. Yeah. So they were like, sure. Yeah. And they did that at that moment. I actually believe that the way in which they make the dun, 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 enter the movie, it's even stronger than if we were just cutting.
Just use the song.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It's true. Yeah.
It was such a joy today. I was walking through London just listening to the score, the soundtrack.
Oh, you downloaded the score.
Yeah.
Isn't it incredible?
It's so... And just hearing it isolated away from the pictures. I haven't seen the film a couple of times now. It was really lovely to kind of go, oh, it almost kind of, you get what it's doing, because when you're watching it, you're on this kind of carpet ride.
You're not really listening, but it's there. Yes. You're not.
And it feels like this real kind of like elements, not all of it, but elements of it are almost like music, his musical, music is telling us his desire. The music is telling us his kind of, you know, the thing that he can't kind of almost say. The music is almost kind of at times doing that for us. It's such a romantic score and elements. And then you have
that was one of my guidelines to the Trent and Atticus. Be romantic And then I said to them, and listen to Verklärte Nacht by Schoenberg. Those are my two things I said to them. And usually when we do a score with them, it's like 2-3 months. This one was like a year. And because they were really committed to find the depth of Lee, when they make love for the first time, they do this very romantic tune that becomes waves of sound because of the shattering power of finally these two bodies merging. Not merging, but two bodies clashing.
On set?
Yeah, we did.
When?
Probably we did when we shot you taking the heroin, Lee taking the heroin. I think I played, or didn't I?
No, we played it, but then we did it silent. Yeah, I think so.
But we knew we wanted to use Leave Me Alone by the New Order.
Yeah.
Okay, we played it.
We played it. You had it. You said, this is what I want, and we listened to it, and then
you won.
Well, we did it, yeah.
That moment was incredible. Yeah. We had this wonderful gentleman, Giovanni, who was our consultant, former drug addict, who let us me understand and you understand what it really makes your body going through an injection of heroin in a very beautiful way. He was very precise and was long conversations for time. Then I said, come with us, be with us when we shoot the scene. And we're standing here and I was sitting here. The camera was here and then it was there and he was looking at you, and which I think is one of the great trespass. Nobody should look at an actor acting because you would be distracted, but you were so generous allowing that to happen for him. And we said, cut. And then I look at him and he was sobbing.
Oh, wow.
He was shaken because they saw in Daniel's performance
truth,
everything that was in him when he went there.
Did you appreciate coming into this, the kind of the detail, the commitment to Luca, to the storytelling in every element?
My favourite cinema is detail oriented. Is where you're like, you know, when you're sitting in a cinema screen and you have to, you get a sore neck because you're moving your head around looking at images and the corner of the frame and what's going on. I know from his movies that's the movies he kind of makes. There's something going on in every scene.
Yeah.
And I wasn't disappointed. We get to set and I knew immediately. He knows everything that's going on from that set. He knows where everything comes from, where it's going to, what it means, if it should be there or shouldn't be there. And as an actor, like me, who's kind of a bit OCD about everything, it just makes me relax. It just takes the weight off my shoulders because I know he's got it. He's got.
But you know how liberating it is to know that someone like Daniel, who has an encyclopedic sense of cinema, being a great filmmaker himself, knowing that he would say something, you know, that's super important to me as well, because I know, you know, you would say,
Luca.
But I loved how you said, I heard you say about the music that the Burroughs is the bridge to the music, you know, in terms of your choices, that there's the kind
of... It's not about anachronistic using of music, because the movie is not a period piece set in the 50s. That's a bit a distracted viewer would say that.
Yeah.
It's a fantasy in a fantastic world that is the imaginary of William Burroughs brought to life through the means of cinema. So there is no period that could make anything feel anachronistic. It's more about the feelings, the emotional journey. So I think this artist has been a bridge for generations through emotional journeys. of, you know, like different canons of visions, of paranoia and of repression.
Yeah.
And that is not casual that Cobain was attracted by it to Burroughs. And Prince, I think Prince is the Dionysiac aspect in the music.
Yeah.
Where there is something there is something melancholic about the tragic, profound artistry of Cobain. So they exist in these two levels. One is like melancholic and one is Dionysiac. Both of them have to deal with sexuality, I would say.
Random question to finish with. When you were, what, 16?
17.
Can you remember what music you were listening to at that time?
I think it must have been Sinead O'Connor.
I love that.
The first two albums.
How beautiful is that, though?
Oh, I'm a devotee of Sinead. It's a sad story because she wrote the book. And through perilous communications, we were setting up to go and meet with her because I wanted to make the book into a movie.
Mm.
She didn't want to meet. She was very, like, protecting herself.
Yeah.
But then she said, yeah, we tried. We tried, and then the inevitable happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very profoundly moved by Sinead O'Connor, the great artist, and she's been a companion for me for a long time.
What a lovely way to celebrate her in the film. So great. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Could chat to you for days. Thank you.
From The Score to Queer, that's No Final Solution by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, rounding off this latest episode of Soundtracking with Luca and Daniel. My huge thanks to Luca and Daniel for taking the time to talk to us, to all the team behind the scenes as well, who helped facilitate that. I just had the best time talking to them. Queer is in cinemas now and really warrants being seen on a big screen, both in terms of the kind of visual experience that you'll get with it as well, but also the sonic nature of the work of Trent and Atticus, the sound team, and also those needle drops. So get along and see it at a cinema if you can. As you probably gathered, I've spoken to Luca and Daniel on Soundtracking before, and you can find those chats at edithbowman.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Next up, we're going to be talking about Magpie, which is a brilliant little independent British film. It's written by Tom Bateman, who's normally an actor, but he's done a very good job in writing this film, which stars his wife, Daisy Ridley, in the lead role. It's directed by Sam Yates, and we're really thrilled to have Sam, Daisy and Tom to talk about their brilliant film on our next episode of Soundtracking. I very much look forward to the pleasure of your company then.